spend a summer there. Could, you know, I can't take the humidity. I just can't.
Yeah, it gets pretty nasty sometimes.
Like, it gets to be 115 degrees here, but it's dry. You know, it's not humid. You get 20% humidity. Over there, you get like 80% humidity. I can't deal with that.
Yeah, it feels like you're walking around in a swamp. It's a little bit gross.
Yeah, you have to. You take out. You get out the shower. You walk outside. You have to go back in and take another shower.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Not great. Yeah.
No. And I've lived here all my life, so I'm kind of used to it.
Yeah, same. I've been in Arizona my whole life. Totally used to the dry heat. So you saw the game Saturday.
I did. Yes.
What'd you think of it?
It was good. I mean, you know, 1-0 isn't entirely exciting, but it was a lot better than. Obviously, the past couple games.
Yeah, I don't think we were great by any means.
No, not spectacular.
It wasn't convincing. Like Carlo, you remember Carlo? He was saying, "Oh, this should have been a 3-0, 4-0 win." I'm like, "No, it shouldn't have been."
Yeah,
we're not that good. I mean, they had I think like 3 shots on target for the whole game.
Yeah, it wasn't that wonderful of a performance, but they needed it desperately.
Yeah, exactly. I think the overwhelming need for a win, I think,
cancels
out the kind of poor performance.
Yeah, and Las Palmas were pretty good, so.
Yeah, they didn't have Boateng, and they still played really well.
Yeah.
Boateng wasn't there. I think Rocky Mesa just got back to fitness as well, so. Rocky Mesa and his horrible.
Rocky Table.
Rocky Table and his horrible mustache.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was an interesting game, but it was good to see Saul playing well. He needed that.
Yeah, he really, really needed that. So yeah, we'll talk about that and the Pijuelo return leg, which is tomorrow. I'm going to try to watch it. I think we have a pretty strong squad for that game.
Really?
Yeah, I'm trying to check it out right now. I saw someone say that, you know, obviously Churchy's in the squad, so it's we're going for everything here.
Yeah, exactly. Going for broke.
No, I think Simeone named like a couple first team players to this game, which would be strange. There's absolutely no need to do that.
Oh yeah, I see this.
So yeah,
it's on their Twitter.
Yeah, I'm trying to check it out right now.
That's strange. You wouldn't think that for a game that they won the first leg 6-0.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got Savages in there. Juan Fran is in there, Koke, Saul, Carrasco.
Gaitan, it's basically all first team players plus Churchy.
Yeah, plus Churchy. Can't leave him out. Except no Griezmann, no Godin, no Felipe. Felipe's still hurt, I think.
Yeah.
So no Felipe, no Griezmann, no Godin.
But still, that's a pretty strong squad.
Griezmann desperately needs a rest. So.
Yes, and this would be the game to do it.
I guess the thinking is that they're only going to play one game in the next 2 weeks. It's going to be the friendly in Saudi Arabia. After this, they're going to play in Saudi Arabia a day before New Year's Eve, and then they don't come back to the league till January 7. So I guess that's the thinking.
I guess one of their last competitive games for a while, so it'll be interesting.
Oh, we do have a couple questions. Interesting, Ghulam? Really?
Huh.
From Napoli.
Napoli, yeah.
I did not know we were interested in him. I remember that rumor over the summer when we were looking for replacement for or a deputy for Juan Fran.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
he's a fullback.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's a pretty good fullback.
Yeah.
In Ghulam. Napoli fullback.
Good name.
He is a great name. You have Ghoul built right in. It's a great name.
Yeah. Napoli has some good fullbacks. Him and that other dude whose name is totally unpronounceable.
The Albanian dude, right? Yeah, he's the Albanian dude. I can never pronounce his name.
Yeah, that dude.
It's the Albanian dude. All right, so we got a couple questions. Do you think Cholo should keep Churchy? Come on.
I think we all know the answer to that.
Yes. Renew him until 2025.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Why not? Transfer ban.
Transfer ban. Yeah, you know, you got to keep all your players.
Can't let any of them go.
All right, so Las Palmas analysis, the Chicuelo preview, we'll answer those questions, and then we'll be done.
Okay. Sounds all right. Good.
Let's get started. Today on Colchonero Chat, back on the right track, Atletico Madrid notch a slim win over Las Palmas at the weekend to end 2016 on a high note and leave supporters optimistic for 2017. Full analysis of that game, along with a preview of Atleti's tilt against Chicuelo in the Copa del Rey on Tuesday. Stick with us. Buenos dias. This is Colchonero Chat, the premier English language podcast on Atletico Madrid and a part of Into the Calderon, SB Nation's home for all things Atletico. I am your host, Jeremy Barron, joined today by Into the Calderon staff writer, Robert Walker.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Robert. Thanks so much for stopping by the program.
Oh, yes. Good to be back, as usual.
Always a pleasure. You're just such a delightful person. I have to have you on.
Oh, yes. Great to be on, as usual.
Yeah, so we'll be talking about Atleti's win over Las Palmas on Saturday. The pros, the cons, the good, the bad of that game. Kind of a weird one. We'll talk all about it. Along with the preview of the Copa del Rey last 32, second leg against Chicuelo, Atleti take a 6-0 aggregate lead into that game at the Calderon on Tuesday. Before all that, however, programming note, we'd like to remind everyone that we are on iTunes and Stitcher. You can find all new and archived episodes of Colchonero Chat on iTunes and Stitcher. So feel free to rate, review, subscribe. Anything you can do in that regard would be really appreciated. We plan to expand onto even more podcasting platforms in 2017, so be on the lookout for that. Further notes on when and where Colchonero Chat is appearing will follow. So be on the lookout in 2017 for Colchonero Chat to be all over the damn place. yeah. So
we're taking over everywhere.
We're taking over. 2017 is the year. So after that, that programming note, on to a La Liga whip around. 16 match days. 16 match days complete in Liga Santander this season. A whopping 22 to go. And not the most dramatic weekend in La Liga. Some explosive games, as usual, but things kind of staying the same in the European places. We start on Friday, Alaves with a 1-0 win over Real Betis. Alaves continue to fly above the radar. What?
Yeah.
Sorry. That's going to be edited.
They've been overachieving this season.
Alaves continue to overachieve, as it's their fifth win of the campaign. They are now 11th, a comfortable 9 points off the drop. Very impressive for the Basque side.
Yes, indeed.
On Saturday, Sporting Gijon 1, Villarreal 3. Atleti woke up the Yellow Submarine. Second consecutive game, Villarreal have notched 3 goals. They will stay in fourth place entering 2017. Granada 0, Real Sociedad 2. Sociedad notch an easy win over Granada, who are still mired in the drop zone, 19th place. Sociedad doing that without William Jose as well, their leading goal scorer. Sevilla 4, Malaga 1, 10-man Sevilla with an explosive, dominant first half display. Did you catch the highlights of this game? This was phenomenal. Some of the build-ups that Sevilla did, some of the goals they scored were phenomenal.
Yeah, they're scary, and that's a big derby, those two. So, and to score, you know, what was it, 3 goals in the opening 30 minutes or something like that?
They scored 3 goals in like 10 minutes, I want to say.
Good gosh.
It happened very
25, 28, 34, and 35. That's crazy.
It was goalless, and then it was not goalless anymore.
Yeah, Malaga's defense looks pretty weak. But
yeah, very uncharacteristic. 26 goals conceded in 16 games for Malaga. That's extremely uncharacteristic of that side. But Sevilla still in third. Luciano Veto notching a brace in this game. He's up to 6 goals this season. The Atletico Madrid loanee is. On Sunday, Leganés 1, Eibar 1, Deportivo La Coruña 2, Osasuna 0. This was an interesting one as the power went out at the Riazor.
leading
to a blackout that delayed the start of the second half, but to Depor notching a pretty easy win. Osasuna, God, 1 win in 16 games, just 7 points. They've scored 1 goal since Joaquin Campardos has taken over there.
Yeah, they're in trouble.
Yeah, you think. Finally, people were talking about this one as a partidazo, as probably the game of the weekend. It was not the game of the weekend. Barcelona 4, Espanyol 1. dominant display from Barcelona, who are still head and shoulders above their Catalan rivals. Goals from Luis Suarez, he scored a brace, Lionel Messi, and Jordi Alba.
Some really good goals in that one, too.
Yeah. Messi's goal, the fourth goal, was just such a soft touch. Like, my God.
Yeah. Also, he's pretty good. He's not bad.
He's no longer blonde, either. So.
Yes, thank goodness that era's over.
Hashtag new year, new me.
Yes, exactly. So, hopefully we wouldn't have to see the leg tattoo much, either.
Yeah. One thing at a time, Robert. Real Madrid did not play this weekend. They still top the table. But if they had played, they would have fallen behind and come back to win 4-2. Oh, wait, they did that. They went to Japan and won the Club World Cup by doing just that.
Yes, and Sergio Ramos maybe should have been sent off, but then mysteriously wasn't.
Mysteriously.
Yes. Depending on how cynical you are.
Mm-hmm. So, looking at the top six, Real Madrid still top the table on 37 points. Have not lost yet. They will be unbeaten entering the new year. Barcelona behind them, 3 points. However, Madrid have a game in hand. Sevilla in third, just a point behind Barcelona. Villarreal in fourth. Real Sociedad in fifth. And Atletico Madrid in sixth. Now, two results we did not mention. Athletic and Celta Vigo, they are playing today. They're kicking off in just a few minutes. By the time this podcast comes out, that game will have long been decided. And however, the one game that was played that we didn't mention, Atletico Madrid won Las Palmas 0. A massive 3 points for Atletico Madrid, just their second win in the last four. Actually, second win in the last six, to be more accurate. Takes them to 28 points on the season with their eighth league win. Still in sixth as Villarreal and Real Sociedad won. But Robert, interesting game, wouldn't you say?
Yes, very interesting, and it was one Atleti needed to win. Didn't really matter how they did it, they just needed the 3 points after what's been a pretty disastrous run of form, I'd say. So, it wasn't the most exciting game in the world, but they got out of it, so, with a 1-0 win. So, nothing to really complain about on the scoreline end, I guess.
Yeah, it was a weird game, I thought, because Atleti got the win. That's the most important thing. They really badly needed this one, or else there may have been a full revolt if they hadn't.
Yes.
And on this program, I predicted a 1-0 loss. I got the scoreline right, just got the teams wrong. And I think you got a 1-1, you had a 1-1 draw, so.
We were
both wrong.
Yes, we messed up. We were a little bit pessimistic after the last few weeks.
Yeah, we'll gladly take the lumps there.
Oh, yes.
But it was a weird one because Atleti weren't great. There are still problems there. There were a lot of good things that Atleti did in this game, which we'll get to, but problems still there. Defensive structure wasn't – it was still kind of, I guess, fluid. You know, that's pretty
good. Yeah, it looked a little weak.
It looked a little, you know, elastic. It bent, but it didn't break, which was good
flimsy
news. So, yeah, and aside from that, some attacking problems in the first half. Only 3 shots on target for the entire game, despite 16 shots for Atleti. Antoine Griezmann managing 5 shots, but just 1 on target, for example. And things still not quite right. Things look a little disconnected still, a little ragged at the end of a long year, but a win's a win, and Saul scored an amazing goal to clinch the win.
And he nearly scored 2 amazing goals with his volley that hit the post. That was unbelievable.
Incredibly acrobatic. Just struck it off, flush off the post. It was kind of similar to the goal he scored in the Madrid derby.
Yes, exactly. I mean, he could have had 2 really wonderful goals in this game, and he needed a good performance and to pick up some form after, you know, there's a lot of expectations on him this year, and he hasn't really delivered as of late, so it's good to see that.
Yeah, I thought he was great, and he played in the role he's best in, which is as a box-to-box midfielder. Saul can do a little bit of everything. He's a jack-of-all-trades, which is what makes him so very valuable in this squad, is that he can do a bit of everything. Playing exclusively as a defensive midfielder, though, you know, you can't send him too forward in attack. Playing him too far up the pitch as an attacking-minded midfielder, you lose defensive solidity.
Right. Yeah, he's just going to run his socks off for most of the game, and that's sort of what you want him to do, because he can move, he can pass, he can get things going, and he and Koke can switch out on the wings pretty well, because both of them can do a decent job defending on the wing as well as going forward, so
yeah,
it's good to see that too.
Playing as a box-to-box type really suits Saul's game, because he's so athletic, he keeps up, he doesn't look lost out there despite his being at the tender age of 22, and this was a big game for him. Hopefully it prefaces a big 2017 for the Count Toronto, and he's going to need it. The team needs it. The team needs him to find consistent form, and judging from this game, it looks like he may find it. The goal he scored, just a rocket from outside the box, just a total blender. It was an excellent goal.
Yes, and that was sort of the goal that Atleti needed to score in this game. And I thought that maybe in the Espanyol game that would have been another opportunity for just one of those games where you just have to have a moment of magic that puts you in the lead and gets you the 3 points. And we got it in this one.
Yeah, it was Saul's moment of genius that decided an otherwise very tight game. Las Palmas, yes, as we know, a team that loves to have the ball, a team that loves to play short passes, keep possession, circulate the ball. They ran up about 70% possession in this game, which is about typical for them. They are one of the highest possession average teams in the league, routinely getting above 55% possession.
Yeah, they're a very good side, and they had a very good start to the season. They've trailed off recently. They drew with Leganés and Osasuna recently, but still, they're definitely a very good footballing side in terms of how they play. They're not bad to watch at all.
No, they play some really, really neat stuff. No Kevin Prince-Boateng in this one, however, and that probably hurt them. Boateng's been one of their best players this season, and you could see that they lacked a little bit of that dynamic width. They lacked a little bit of that dynamism out wide. They could have used him in this game. Could have been a deciding moment if he had been able to play. He, unfortunately, was not able to go for Las Palmas' sake. And
yeah, he could have been the one that really tested the Atleti back line and see how really flimsy it was. So, but thankfully he wasn't there.
Yeah. Las Palmas really played about as expected, though, despite his absence. Again, about 70% possession, 85% pass completion rate, and Atletico less than 70% pass success percentage. But not really threatening a whole lot. Las Palmas had a lot of the ball, a lot of touches in and near the box, but challenged Miguel Angel Moya just a couple times in the game. Moya was looked very comfortable, didn't look rusty at all. It's a big performance for him, too.
Yes, that was very needed. We were a little bit concerned about that on last week's show, talking about how he would adapt coming in after not being in goal for quite some time, but he did quite well, so that was good to see.
He's an experienced veteran goalkeeper who knows his way around, yep, La Liga. He's been there for a while, and he didn't look like he missed a beat at all in this game. His first start since March 14, 2015.
Well, and, you know, I'm sure he was rearing to go to get out there and play again after, because without an injury to Oblak, he probably wouldn't have played very much at all this season, except for maybe in the Cup.
Except in the Cup, exactly.
Yeah.
But he looked very comfortable, very assured, and that's the kind of performance that Atletico needed. Shime Versalco, wonderful performance.
Really good.
Outstanding
really
from the Croatian in this game.
Yeah, and he's looked good in the first Guijuelo game that they played, the first leg. He looked good in that game as well when he scored that wonderful volley.
Scored that volley, yeah.
He just looked like he can do all sorts of everything, and to have a reliable defender on the bench to come in is really invaluable.
And this game, he's played well every time Simeone's given him an opportunity. Now, this is not really anything new for him. In this game, though, led the team in touches. That's new for him. Just underlining his importance in this game.
Yes, and he had he completed three of his three take-ons, which was in the opposition's half of the field as well. So he's doing a lot going forward as well as helping on the defensive end. So
yeah, I really, really enjoyed watching his pace, his dribbling ability. His crossing is very good.
Yes.
I've seen that consistently since his first start in September. He's really good crosser of the ball. And he's finding his way defensively for sure, really making the right side his own in this game. I think he could surpass Juanfran in a year.
Yeah, he could potentially get there, and I guess that was the thinking when they brought him in, that he could eventually do that. And it's good to see that he's performing up to that level, because, you know, people like Savage haven't really ascended to the point that they need to be, so...
Yeah, and Savage, this was Savage's best game in 2 months, which right. isn't saying a whole lot, because I don't think he was great, but he was better than he has been.
Yes, well, at least there's been some improvement, but, you know, there's still problems there, and you feel like he's one of those players that has a mistake in him in pretty much every game, so it's a little bit concerning.
Didn't used to think that, because last year he was so reliable, this year not the case. Just has not been the same since the Malaga game, when he got sent off, and... That crazy 4-2 game when Savage got sent off, he just has not been the same player since then.
Yeah, and he's going to need to be with the injuries that are piling up at the moment.
Yeah, and that said, he was pretty good in this game. Jose Jimenez should be back after the holiday break. So I'd like to be getting their depth back. Felipe Luis should be back as well. But going back to Vrsaljko for a minute, I really think he could surpass Juanfran in the year. Every time he's played this season, it's been just a few appearances. But every time he's played, he looks like he has fit right in. And Juanfran's been kind of hit and miss with his form this season. Some good performances lately, some not so good performances.
Yes, exactly. And it's good that there's that depth on the bench, so that in games, if one of them falls out of form, you can use the other and not be concerned that it's going to be somewhere the opposition can exploit. So, yeah, I'm very happy to see Vrsaljko doing as well. And it justified me learning how to spell his name correctly. So.
and pronounce it.
Vrsaljko?
Vrsaljko, yeah.
Okay.
You got it.
It's even harder to pronounce than to spell.
Yeah. And you got to get the above the S in his first name, the Shime.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Vrsaljko.
Got to get that accent mark above there. But anywho... For sure, Juanfran has never really had a capable deputy since he became Simeone's first choice right back. Jesus Gomez was a nice player, not up to Champions League caliber. Vrsaljko is an excellent right back, and he has a little bit of that pace that you need, that dribbling, that crossing, and he's not messing up out there. He can score great volleys, as we've seen.
Yes, exactly. A right back that can seemingly do everything, and the longer he's with Simeone, you'd imagine he'd get even better defensively. So that's a good thing.
And he's just 24 years old too, and he could surpass Juanfran in a year's time, maybe less.
Oh, definitely. And you know, defenders tend to get better the older they get. So hopefully, better things to come in the future as well. So
absolutely,
looks good.
The weekly update on Koke's position. He was out on the right wing in this game, but he did manage to create a healthy amount of chances playing through the middle, which is good. Playing through the middle from set pieces, his corner kicks were pretty good in this game. Koke was subject to a transfer rumor this past week where Marca reported that he was the object of interest from Manchester City, who lost Ilkay Gundogan this past week, which should surprise no one.
Yes, he came to them injured as well. So.
Yeah, but they did lose him. So, what did you think of the Koke rumor? Are there any legs to it?
It's concerning because it's one that you could see potentially being interesting to Koke, as he hasn't been playing in the middle, which you would imagine is his preferred position, and without Gundogan, Manchester City would most likely use him in the middle, and he could be quite useful for them. And they certainly have the money to pay for him, which is the other concern part. Yeah. So he would not be cheap, but they don't care about what the price is.
Right. And this game showed a bit of why Koke is so coveted. Has been in the past by Barcelona in particular, Manchester United for a little bit as well. Playing on the right, he still created a bunch of chances. Still created his team's best chances. Defensively, he was solid. But there is, I wrote a piece on this earlier this week, analyzing this rumor. Koke's contract is up in 2019. Hasn't signed a new one yet. Hasn't really been much traction on getting a renewal. Now, that could be taken in both a good context and a bad context, right? The good context is he's still signed for 3 more years. There's no rush. The less good context is, well, Atleti may not be that interested in re-signing him or renewing him, extending his contract. He has a huge buyout clause. It's 150 million euros. Not sure City can pay that or willing to. City can't pay it, but they're not sure they're willing to pay it for Koke.
Or if they have the financial fair play room to pay for it. Exactly. That's the other thing.
And for now, the policy is if you don't pay the buyout, you don't leave Atletico. Atletico even got Barcelona to pay Arda Turan's buyout.
Yeah.
So if you don't pay the buyout, you don't leave.
Yeah. I don't think it would happen any time soon. I could see potentially next summer. But, you know, these days with contracts, it seems like some players are signing new contracts every 3 or 4 months. So it does
see
make
Marco
a little bit nervous. Yes, exactly, Verratti. It really is. Every 3 months, PSG is renewing his contract. So, yeah, it's strange. But hopefully he sticks around for a while because he is an important player. And he was good in this game on the right-hand side. And you could see from his pass map as well, he was drifting inside to the middle, taking up central positions to pass as well. So, you know, he's a very important player.
The rumors are what they are. It's the first time in a while we've seen Koke linked elsewhere, but, you know, rumors are what they are. If he stays long enough, he could be Atleti's future captain. He's been with the club since he was 8 years old, since he was just a kid, and now he's one of the most important players for his boyhood club. That means something.
Definitely.
Theoretically, he could become like a Totti character, like a one-club man. But we also
wonder about the future of him and Saul in this team, you know.
Yeah, it's a good point. We do have to consider that there aren't very many one-club men anymore. Totti really is, like, the last one, and he's retiring at the end of the season. He is the last one, really. And, you know, football's changed. There's a lot more money in it. There's a lot more glitz and glamour all around, especially in England, where even bit-part players get paid like kings.
Right, exactly.
And you have to consider the Simeone factor as well. And we won't know this until Simeone leaves. How many of these players are here just for him? How many of these players are here just because they love the badge?
Right, and I think the Koke's and Saul's are more here for Atleti because of Atleti, not specifically Simeone. But you could see the sort of Griezmann types and Correa's that may be there. Because of Simeone, and would potentially leave if he went. But I could see those two staying, Koke and Saul, regardless of who the manager is, you would hope.
I could too, but if there is this growing perception that Koke has not progressed as expected, he's still not playing through the middle consistently for one, which is, it's concerning to everyone that he's still not playing in central midfield every week. If there is a concern he has not progressed to the level of becoming one of the very, very best on the continent, which Koke, I think, is in that second, maybe third tier right now. He's very good and very valuable and can do a bunch of different things, but, you know, he's not one of the very best in the world yet. Very easily could get there, but not quite yet. If there is that concern among the Atletico hierarchy that he's not going to get there, maybe after the World Cup in 2018, you sell him. He has a year left on his contract. He'll be 26 years old after the World Cup in Russia. He'll have 1 year left on his contract, and you can talk about selling him. Any fee you get for him will be a profit because he came from the academy.
Right, exactly.
Just something I was thinking about.
It's curious because we've talked about when Simeone does leave, what a new manager would do with Koke and how he would use him, because if he hasn't registered enough minutes in the center of midfield by that point, it could be a concern that he may never be able to play there properly. But,
like, I think some of that is overblown because he's just 24 years old. He turns 25 in January. Right. He's still so young. He's played so many games, but he's still so young.
Spanish press has been calling him, you know, the next Xavi for years.
Which he's not. It's ridiculous. He's different than Xavi, and no matter, I don't care what Xavi said. Xavi speaks out of both sides of his mouth a lot, but he's not the new Xavi. He's different than Xavi. But maybe he could grow frustrated with not playing through the middle. Maybe he will be patient and wait for a new manager to see what this new manager does. Maybe he won't. There's still a long ways to go before we really make a determination, before the club really makes a determination there. And at any rate, he's not leaving because of the transfer ban.
Right, exactly.
No important players will leave unless Simeone leaves during the transfer ban, which I still don't think is going to happen.
No, yeah, and you wouldn't imagine the club would even consider selling some of the most important players while the transfer ban's still in effect.
Exactly. Back to this game for a minute. Antoine Griezmann, the goalless drought in La Liga continues. More than 760 minutes now without a goal, 9 straight games without one. He will enter the new year carrying that goalless drought. He was better in this game, more aggressive going for goal. He'd been tentative in previous weeks, trying to focus too much on playmaking rather than scoring. It was the opposite in this game. Didn't score, but he worked really hard, gave a really good effort. It's the end of a very long year for Griezmann, who, you know, I would expect he ends that drought almost immediately after coming back from the holidays.
Definitely, and I do wonder if he is carrying some kind of minor injury after all the football he's played this past calendar year. I mean, he barely had a break at all. So yeah. I'd like for him to maybe, for the club to have a look at him just to make sure he's all right physically. And then in the new year, he should kick on, I'd imagine. No one doubts his quality at all.
Yeah, they shouldn't.
They better not.
He's a guy who's been very healthy throughout his career, which kind of belies his slight build. He's a small guy, but it kind of belies how he's not a big hulking monster.
Right.
But he's stayed healthy throughout his career. He picked up a minor foot injury a couple months ago while on international duty, played through it in the Madrid derby, didn't play well, but played through it. He appears to be fine now. He's running fine. He's tracking back fine. He's working hard. Still doesn't look uncomfortable. Just, again, it's like we talked about on last week, just it's been a long, long year for him. And he's playing 80, 90 minutes every single game. If you do that every single game for an entire calendar year, you're going to be exhausted. This is going to happen.
Right. He's been the main attacking threat for this club for quite some time, for this whole calendar year, basically. So, and for France as well. So that's a big burden to shoulder.
Yeah. But in this game, he worked hard. It was a really good effort for him. It was not a great effort for Kevin Gamero.
No.
Not a great
effort. Kevin Gamero had one shot and Griezmann had 5, so.
And Kevin Gamero had a lead-heavy first touch.
Yes, that has been a bit of a problem with him.
Yeah, it was tough watching him in this game. He's now gone 4 without a goal. So you're currently carrying 2 forwards who have goalless droughts of 4 or more.
Right, and there's not really someone coming off the bench that you'd think can really get you goals other than Fernando Torres, who is just a big old question mark all the time.
Churchy.
So, yeah, Churchy, right, of course. How could we forget?
But, that is a concern that Griezmann and Gamero both need to start firing into January. But some other notes from this game. Atleti really good in the air in particular. Won a lot of aerial battles. Godin, of course, spearheading that effort at the back. And just more intensity than in previous weeks. And it was good to see, and it should leave supporters feeling optimistic, hopeful that in a few more games this team gets back on track.
After shipping 3 goals against Villarreal, they needed to tighten up defensively, and I guess that's sort of what we would have expected from Simeone to focus on, is getting the defense fixed up, and to keep a clean sheet and then to get the goal that gets the 3 points is pretty ideal.
So overall, decent game, weird game. Atleti play well, but don't play well. But it's a win. Win's a win.
Yes.
Sewell scored a great goal, and it's something to build on for sure. And coming up after this game, the friendly in Saudi Arabia on December 30th, and the return to league action on January 7th against Eibar. But before all that, we have the Copa del Rey tie against Hijuelo, the second leg of that. After this short break, we will preview that game in full. Copa del Rey action on Tuesday. Atleti staying at the Vicente Calderon and hosting Hijuelo. The first leg played in Salamanca, a 6-0 win for Atleti's reserves. Pretty comprehensive win that. Simeone has named a pretty strong squad for this one, a bit surprisingly.
Yeah, there's only a couple notable exceptions and not too many youth team players, though we do see the return of Churchy. For this wonderful match.
He's back.
Maybe he'll get some minutes.
He has been medically cleared, finally.
Yes, and now he'll have his time to shine in a game that's already over.
you already know he's just gonna, you know, he's gonna be the savior.
Oh yeah, yeah, he's the second coming. And this Gihuelo game, against the cured meat team, he's gonna make his mark.
Well, you know, meat, Bologna, it makes sense.
Oh yeah, there you go.
You see the connection here? This is the perfect time to clear him for a return to action.
Yeah, he if there is a
Very
game
smart.
In which he will score, it will be against Gihuelo.
Before this train gets off the tracks, though, pretty strong squad. Griezmann not in it, Godin not in it, Felipe not in it. I'm not. Was Koke in it? I think Koke was in it.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, so a pretty strong squad for this one. I guess the thinking behind it is Atleti are going to play, after this, they're going to play one game in 2 weeks.
So right,
you want to keep guys
sharp,
you want to keep guys somewhat fresh, not have too much inertia, and not let guys sit for too long and get rusty. I guess that's the thinking behind it.
Yeah, I would have expected maybe a couple more youth team players or fringe players to be in the squad, but, you know, it is what it is, and it'll be good to see some rotation, hopefully, and Griezmann will get a very deserved break for this one.
Griezmann, I'm not even sure he'll play in Saudi Arabia.
Let's hope not, because, you know, those trips are always a little bit dicey, so.
To say the least.
Again,
a 6-0 aggregate lead for Atleti after the dominant display in the first leg. Assuming that nothing really goes wrong here, which there's a 1 in a million probability it does, nothing will go wrong here, is what we're trying to say. But after this, we will have the last 16 draw for the Copa del Rey. That will take place shortly after the round of 32 ends. And by the end of February, we'll have our final set. Do you think Atleti can make a run to the Copa del Rey final this year?
I think it's definitely possible. A lot depends on who the last 16 opponent will be.
Madrid.
But, you know, given the fact that La Liga, the chance of the title is mostly gone, it would make sense to focus on maybe picking up some silverware in this competition, which is feasibly winnable for sure.
I think Atleti are more dark horses in the Copa del Rey. I don't think they're going to focus heavily on it. The Copa has not been an objective since 2014. You could argue 2013 when Atleti won it. Two quarterfinal exits the last 2 years to Celta last year. The second leg of that game, one of the very worst games Atleti played all of last season. It's not a priority, and especially if there's progression in the Champions League, if Atleti are going to be in the quarterfinals, maybe even the semifinals of the Champions League, every resource is going to be diverted to that. And the Copa is just not a glamorous competition. It's a trophy, but it's not a glamorous competition, one that lends itself to giving everything you have in it. It's stale. I think the league needs to, the federation needs to think about how to make the Copa big again.
Right, and I think a lot of other leagues struggle with having cup competitions that are just sort of meaningless for the quote-unquote bigger teams. I mean, other leagues like in France and England have two cup competitions, which is even more ridiculous, so it's good there's only one.
If Atleti get friendly draws, it's not out of the question. Like last year, Rayo Vallecano and Celta Vigo were the drawn opposition. Atleti didn't make it past Celta in the quarterfinals, and then Celta got walloped by Sevilla in the semifinals. So it's not out of the question if Atleti get a friendly draw. If, however, you get a Madrid, you get Barcelona, you draw even Sevilla, then I think Atleti will say, okay, we're not going to push all our chips to the front of the table in this competition. We're going to save it, divert everything back to the Champions League and finishing top four, and we'll let these chips fall where they may.
Right, right. And, of course, the focus will always be making sure the Champions League qualification is safe, and then, of course, advancing in the Champions League as well. So.
Yeah, and Yannick Carrasco gave an interview in Marca this past week talking about how the top four is the objective. Everyone is still behind Simeone, and you have to fight for the top four. Basically confirming that Atleti are not going to win La Liga, which is fine. We all knew that. It's no secret that you're this far behind at this point in the season. You're just not going to win it, especially when you're going up against a team as dominant as Real Madrid and a team as good as Barcelona and a team as explosive as Sevilla. So,
yeah, they're not going to drop too many points for the rest of the season, you wouldn't imagine, especially not Real Madrid and Barcelona. So that's been out of the question for a little bit.
Top four is the hope, and top four is still very reasonable. It's definitely achievable with Villarreal just a point clear. Real Sociedad, I believe, now level on points with Atleti in fifth. And Sociedad got wrecked by Deportivo last week.
Right, and there's a pretty good run of fixtures once Atleti returns in the new year in the league. A couple tough games, but specifically the Bilbao one at San Mamés. Yeah,
that's going to be tough. But we've talked about it before, how a lot of these games are going to be at home in the second half of the season.
And the away ones aren't extraordinarily difficult.
Well, they have to go to the Bernabeu. They have to go to the Riathor. They have to go to El Molinon. They have to go to where else? We just talked about it. We just mentioned it. Whatever.
Which?
San Mamés, that's the one.
Yes. Yeah, they have to go to La Rosaleda for Malaga.
Yeah, where they lost last year. So still some tough away games on the slate, but not nearly the gauntlet that it was and that it has been to this point in the season, which is part of the reason why Atleti are where they are in the league.
Right, and I mean, right in the run from sort of the beginning of January until their first Champions League game is really the time where they need to pick up a ton of points in order to make the Champions League spot a little bit more comfortable, if at all possible.
Yeah, but the focus is on top four in La Liga and, of course, the Champions League.
Yeah.
So, prediction for this game against Hijuelo.
It could be anything.
It really could.
I mean, I could see so many. I'll go for 4-1. I'll give Guijuelo 1.
I'm going to go 3-0. No 1 for you. No goal for
not,
you.
Not going to give him a chance to score no. 1.
So I'm predicting a 3-0 win, a 9-0 on aggregate.
Yeah, I think Real Madrid beat 13-1 or something like that.
Yeah, they beat the Cultural 13-1. That was the pasting of the round of 32.
Yeah, it could be one of those. It wouldn't totally surprise me.
Yeah, with a stronger squad, it very well could be.
Right, exactly. There's
especially
some good players
there. If Churchy plays.
Yeah, exactly. Churchy probably going to score about 6.
That's generous. Only 6?
Goal machine.
Hashtag Italian Messi.
Yeah. It's a shame.
Yeah.
Churchy.
Life happens sometimes.
It does.
Now, we do have a couple questions to answer before we shuffle on out of here and end this edition of Culture Neuro Chat, thankfully. a question from at Bobby_Tambling3. Do you think Cholo should keep Churchy? Next question.
No.
at Bobby_Tambling3 asks, how serious is the interest in Ghulam, Napoli's fullback? He was linked to Atletico over the summer before Atleti ended up signing Shime Versalco from Sassuolo. Ghulam, very good fullback at Napoli, a Champions League side. However, Atleti are look pretty good in terms of fullbacks. You have Juanfran and Felipe and entrenched as the starters. Lucas as Felipe's deputy, and Versalco as Juanfran's deputy.
Right. Unless there's some crazy desire to move Lucas Hernandez to the middle, which I don't really see happening. He would certainly be a quality player to add to the squad. He'd be an upgrade over Lucas Hernandez, I would say. But,
well, I think Lucas's future is as a center back. But
right.
For now, you have Savic and Godin and Jimenez as center backs, and they're all pretty good. Usually, Godin is one of the best on the planet. Savic and Jimenez between them are one good center back. And you have Lucas. And Lucas's brother Theo, of course, on loan at Alaves. I would expect him to return in the next year or two and put in a pretty strong bid to be the next left back of the future.
Right, and with the transfer ban, all transfer rumors are a bit hazy at the moment because we don't know what's going to necessarily be the outcome or when players will even be able to come to Atleti again, new players. It's mostly, I think, going to be the ones that are going to return from loan, like Diego Jota and Lucas Hernandez's brother, etc. So,
Possibly Vieto.
Yes, Vieto as well. That's a big one. I don't know if he would return. I mean, you'd think after he's had a fairly good season with Sevilla so far, so.
Yeah, Vieto's situation, and Matias Kronovic there as well, while we're on Sevilla. He'll come back.
Mm.
But Vieto's situation is a difficult one. It's something we'll talk about in the future. But in a future Colts Narrow Chat, we will definitely address the issue of Vieto and staying at Sevilla or coming back to Atletico.
Right, because he wasn't so good last year, but he's been pretty decent so far.
Pretty good this year, yeah.
Yeah.
That will do it for this edition of Colts Narrow Chat. Thank you for listening and sticking with us as we tried to keep this train on the tracks. Did a mostly good job. You can follow me on Twitter at JBBaron. Follow Robert at Trappin, TRAUPPIN. Remember to like Into the Calderon on Facebook. Follow the blog on Twitter at Into the Calderon. And remember to subscribe to Colts Narrow Chat on iTunes and Stitcher. iTunes and Stitcher. Like, review, rate, subscribe. Listen to every episode, new and archived. Leave a rating and a review. I would like to emphasize that any feedback would be greatly appreciated.
Yes, it makes us very happy.
Yeah, very happy. both positive and even negative.
We'll take all kinds of feedback.
Constructive criticism is always good.
Yes, indeed.
So we'll probably be back before Christmas. Probably will be a pod after the Hijuelo game. And barring that, after that though, we are probably done until 2017.
Yes, well, we'll be back probably after the Ibar game in 2017.
Yeah, or maybe after the friendly against Al-Ittihad. The schedule's kind of fluid. But in the meantime, look for a pod after the Hijuelo game. And after that, we'll keep you all posted. So thank you for listening. We will catch you on the next edition of Colts Narrow Chat. Adios.
Hasta luego.